We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Coachable podcast. I am so excited to be in this incredible space. It feels like I'm starting this show from scratch almost. There is such a new energy that is surrounding not only this conversation and this room, but the people in it. And I know that you're going to be served today because of what is shared in this conversation. For those of you who are just tuning in for the first time, I am your host, Tori Gordon, and I am so honored that you're going to spend the next few minutes with us as we dive into a conversation that could potentially change your life, could give you a new reference point for what's possible, and show you what it's really like to connect consciously with yourself and with someone else. I'm so excited to be joined by a dear friend of mine, Avery. And she is an embodied facilitator and coach and guide who has made a real impact on me with her presence and with her work. And that's why I invited her to be on the show today, because I take the people that I surround myself with very seriously. And she is one of them. And I have learned to protect my energy and to be very aware of who I give it to. And when I came into contact with you, Avery, it was immediate that I felt a similar frequency. And that comes from a level of embodiment in the work that you do. And with that said, I'm excited to just open up a space and a conversation for us to just talk about what's important to us, what we're working on, what we're working through, and what we've learned throughout our journey. And I know your journey is unique. So welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited. And it's such an honor and privilege. I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah. So please introduce yourself and tell people what it is that you do.
Yeah. Ooh, that always feels like such a big question.
I know. We'll unpack it.
So my name is Avery Valentine, and I am an embodiment coach with a strong background in tantra and shamanism. And I like to combine this medley of tools to help people just really feel liberated, sovereign, and I think embodying their passion and really being clear on what we desire, and then co-creating from that space of desire and passion, and really integrating all parts of ourselves, like the primal body, the part that in Western culture, oftentimes we want to shame or hide, and allowing that to be brought to the light so that we can really integrate and be whole in this human experience and meet other people from that place.
Yeah. I know. I love your work, because my first taste of it was actually at a workshop that you ran here in Vegas, all around the art of consent. And what does that mean? And I had a particularly powerful experience, and I'd love for us to maybe start there, because your work revolves around, like you said, embodied sexuality, tantra, but you bring in aspects of mindfulness and consciousness work and shamanism. And so you have this really beautiful flavor to the way you approach it. In allowing people to explore their shadow, their darkness, their light, their sensuality, their erotic body, their like all parts of them are welcome. But we can't really have a conversation about opening ourselves up if we don't start with consent. Mm-hmm. So what is consent? Why is it important? So let's start there.
Yeah. So consent is, you know, when you're...
It's a big topic.
Engaging with others. I mean, you can have consent within yourself, sure. Even. You know, self-abandonment is lack of consent.
Yeah.
So if we're speaking in relation to others, it's getting that... Can I cuss?
Yes.
Okay. It's getting that fuck yes from another person.
Yes.
And then like moving together from that place of alignment. It all comes back to alignment. And without consent, we're in the shadow. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times if people aren't clear on what's a fuck yes to them, what's a no, and what's a maybe. We say maybe is a no for now. We'll revisit this at another time. And so if people aren't clear on that, that's when we build resentment. We end up, you know, in hindsight, regretting things because we will go over our own boundary and we'll do something. And then in hindsight, we'll be like, I didn't want to consent to that. Mm-hmm. But it's like oftentimes we're not even clear on that center. Mm-hmm. And that was what we did in that workshop, was really experiencing like, when do I lose myself, my center in relation to another? Yeah. And being really clear on that with consent, because it's not fair to say yes to somebody and then come back later and be like, oh, well, you, that wasn't consensual. And it's like, I'm not in your mind. Mm-hmm. If you told me yes, it's a yes.
Yeah.
And so really helping people that sovereignty, the agency, like you can own a no, and your maybe and your no is so powerful. And so, yeah, consent to me is the basis of how we relate to ourselves and everyone in life. And it's so foundational.
It really is. And it goes so far beyond the bedroom. It is in every area of our lives. And like what you were just saying, so many people don't know what that even feels like for them internally, what their center feels like, what is a yes and what is a no. And that's why you so beautifully guided that experience for people. And many of the exercises that you offered us, I had done before, but it's always so good to check in, because for background, because I think it's always useful to share our own personal stories. I was one of those people that hadn't ever brought awareness to like, what is that feel like for me? Do I want to do something? What does a fuck yes feel like in my body? And what does a no feel like? And that might be around, you know, who I want to engage with sexually, but it also might be around work. Mm-hmm. It might be around family. It might be around money. It might be around what I want to eat for dinner. You know what I mean? What I want to put in my body of all time, in all ways, yeah. You know? And until we have that orientation to ourselves, like you said, we fall into shadow. Mm. That might be a concept that people haven't really heard before.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've talked about it on the show, but for those who that might be a new term for them, can you explain what the shadow aspect of ourselves is?
Yeah. So your shadow is it's like the repressed desires. Mm. So we think primal body would be like your animalistic desires, your drive, your hunger, your passion, sexuality, your desire for power even. And these are things that oftentimes in culture, we don't want to talk about because we perceive them as evil or bad, or you're fucked up if you want these things. But when they're unintegrated, meaning you leave them in the subconscious, your shadow is your subconscious, they come out in unhealthy ways. Mm-hmm. That's when we harm others, hurt others unintentionally, because we're trying to get these needs met and we're not even conscious that we're doing it. Mm-hmm. And so the more we can integrate the shadow, like bring it to the light and love it and be like, own our fucked upness. But essentially, you know, that's been a big journey for me. It's like, yeah, I'm messed up sometimes. And I sometimes hurt people unintentionally. And the more we can own that and move from that place and take ownership, the integration is then obviously we don't continue the behavior. Mm-hmm. It's not like, oh, this is an excuse to be a messed up person.
Right.
but then taking action to shift and align. And, you know, sometimes it's getting those high level ways to meet needs and low level. And not to say one's good or bad, but it's like, if you're always thinking, what's going to move me towards the life I want, towards the people I want, whatever, oftentimes that'd be a high level need. So let's say, okay, I'll share a personal, as you said, personal story. I recently went through a shadow process where I realized my subconscious believed I deserved to suffer more than anybody in the world. Like this deep, like, oh, I deserve to suffer. I'm so fucked up. I'm such a bad person. And the moment I became conscious of that, I can now stop unconsciously creating suffering in my life, mm-hmm. you know, and now I can, you know, I love the kink community and the BDSM community. Now I can go find somebody consensually and be like, would you be down to like have a scene where I get to suffer? Like mm-hmm. I can be a masochist, find ways that are a healthier outlet that's not going to bleed into my life and create unconscious suffering for myself. Mm-hmm. So that's the shadow, and integrating it is really bringing that subconscious program that really runs our life. We don't get what we want consciously. We get what our subconscious is running in the background. So the more we can bring that forth and integrate it, the more agency and sovereignty once again that we have on the creation of our life.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more, because we can't change something we're not aware of.
Yeah.
Right. So awareness is the first step. It's not the last step, right? It is the first step of recognizing, where in my life am I not experiencing what I want to experience, mm-hmm. right? And why is that? And getting curious about that. And then looking at the shadow aspects that surround that, and how can I become responsible mm-hmm. for those things to bring awareness to it, so that then I can become responsible for doing something about it. And from that place, we can consciously create the lives that we want to live. Mm-hmm. I'm curious though, how did you get into this work? Like, this is not something I haven't run across that many people who do what you do and the way that you do it. You're very unique and yet very powerful. Mm. Give me some of your background in how you found your way into this space.
So little side quest here, like background. I love looking at life. We were talking about this before we started recording, as a video game. Okay. Growing up, I loved video games. And so I always see we get to play these different characters or roles in life. And through my life, I have tried on so many characters. I love different characters. Mm-hmm. And so prior to my personal growth, I was a sex worker in the cam industry. Okay. So it was really around that world. And, you know, I wasn't conscious. And so I was very much operating from a place of trauma. And then I'd moved out to Vegas, ironically, and I quit partying, quit drinking, and got out of the sex industry.
When you moved to Vegas.
Yeah. Everyone was like, why the hell are you moving to Vegas? Right. That's like the worst idea with the industry you're in.
Right.
I come out here and I get out of it. But, mm-hmm. you know, it wasn't without like struggle at first, especially coming from like, you know, that income, that world, and then being like, well, I'm not going to go work at McDonald's. Like, what am I going to do with myself?
Yeah.
And so a friend introduced me to a shaman out here. And I had my first DMT experience. And I come from like a heavily religious Southern Baptist family.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Okay. So we, not that my family was Baptist, but I very come religious. From a very religious okay. culture and yeah. from where I grew up. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that DMT experience, I saw so much and I was like, oh, wow. Like, there's something here beyond my understanding, like in this world operating with me. And that really woke me up. And from there, I got really deep in esoteric. And got so it. Reiki, all those things, a shaman eventually found me.
For those who don't know, that's all the woo-woo shit.
That's all the woo-woo background. And yeah, so a shaman found me. She was like, I would love to apprentice you. And so I was really heavy in that world. And I was like working with clients, but I noticed this disconnect of people thinking I was Jesus. Mm. They'd like come to me when they were bleeding out.
Oh, because they just thought you had the answers.
I'm just going to fix them with waving my hands mm-hmm. and take them on a journey and they're going to feel better. And I'd always give them like, okay, well, you know, if you start doing these practices, habits, it would help. And they'd never, no, they'd wait till they were like, oh, and I'm like, okay, I don't like this. Like,
yes.
And so that's when I got really big into Tony Robbins.
Which I don't know anyone who hasn't had a Tony Robbins phase if you're in like personal development. I feel
like it's like a big part of the step.
It's a personal step.
Yeah, you know?
For sure a step.
So like deep in that world and, you know, I love Tony. Mm-hmm. I love his teachings. They're so powerful. But for me as a woman, it felt so masculine.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're going to power through and I'm just going to like find the mindset and get there. And that was when I found my first embodiment coach. And that was such a game changer for me to have a woman leading me through my body, through movement and sound. And so I trained with her and then I'm like, oh, I feel so good. I feel integrated in all this feminine and but I miss the darkness of sex work. Mm-hmm. I was like, and I brought this to her. I'm like, I love the spiritual world, but it feels so like, oh, we're up
airy fairy.
Yeah. Like we're up here and love and light.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I love sex and like darkness. Yeah. I was like, where is missing? And so she got me into Tantra. She was like, you know, I highly recommend, you know, going into this realm. And I dived straight in, no idea what I was doing, and fell in love and then just deeply immersed myself in the world of sacred sexuality and Tantra from there. And to me, that was having that dance on that journey was necessary to be who I am. And I'm so grateful because it does, it feels like no matter where someone's at in their journey, I can understand and meet them.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like, yeah, I've tried it all on there.
I was having this conversation with Nikki in the car on the way here, which we were just like reflecting on where we personally both are in our lives. And we're really enjoying the juiciness of this moment because we're both really in a really powerful space for ourselves. And we were just saying it's a stacking of experiences. It's a stacking of all your past selves, all of the lessons learned, all of those versions of you that have led to this version of you, which is, yeah, it starts with the awareness. Then it starts with maybe the personal development books and the Tony Robbins course. And then, oh, I need to move from my head into my body and into my heart. So maybe somatic and embodiment work. And then there are levels to this shit. Okay. There are levels to this shit.
Yes.
And just like a video game, like you can continue and continue and continue.
Yeah.
And you're, you know, for so many, you know, that listen to this show, there's some people who are going from zero to one. There's some people who are going from two to three, you know what I mean? And you're a little bit further down this path. And so when you meet people, I totally understand. You're like, I can see at which part of your journey, maybe you haven't even explored your body at all. And you have an integrated relationship with your body and you're still dealing with a lot of self-criticism and self-hate and insecurity and different things. If so, that's okay.
Yeah.
It's a step in the process. And you don't always have to feel like that. And there are people who can guide you into becoming more liberated. That's what I love about your work. It's about liberation. It's about exploring the parts of your psyche and your body and your soul that hide in the shadows, that want to hide in the corner and not be seen. And in becoming our full, highest, most sovereign, powerful self, we have to bring those out of the corner and bring them into the light and let it shine and make them the star of the show for the moment and say, you get your moment in the spotlight and we're going to look at you and we're going to pay attention to you and give you your recognition because you're part of me too and you matter. Yeah. So good. So good. I love it. I love it so much.
And it's funny how you're like, you know, when we think about where we're at on this journey and it's like all the stacking, I think sometimes people get disillusioned that, okay, like someone like where I'm at, like, well, she must feel like she's so far on the journey. No, I still feel like I'm just beginning.
Yeah. Me too.
All the time.
Me too.
Like, always 100%. Like, oh my gosh, are we like, I just died yesterday and I'm being reborn again. Are we going to do this again a million times?
I will be a thousand different women in my lifetime. Yeah. Like, there are people who are watching this. If you know me from high school, if you know me from college, or if you know me from last week, like I'm not that girl anymore. You know what I mean? Like I'm a new version of myself. And in my recent ayahuasca experience, it's interesting. You were talking about DMT, how it can be such a just prolific opening to new awareness and understanding of who you are. It was like, oh, I have done this before. I have a different understanding of who I am and my power because we can like completely lose our sense of centeredness and we have to find our way back to that. So like, what are you, when you work with people, what is like the process that you take them through? You know, like who are the types of people that come to work with you? I'm curious.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say there's a good degree because it depends if they're coming for embodiment versus Tantra and sacred sexuality.
Okay.
So embodiment can range. Typically, it's people who oftentimes I find people who've worked corporate or, you know, they did the American dream. They got the job, they did the things, and now they're just like, why am I not happy?
Yeah. There has to be something else.
Yeah. Like, what the hell? Like, I did the, mm-hmm. I did the things, man. Why mm-hmm. do I not feel mm-hmm. good? Mm-hmm. And they just want something more. And so when I work with people like that, it's, we break it down. And so So, you know, it's really starting with breath and awareness. Yeah. And I tell anyone, I'm like, if you don't know where to begin on your journey, begin with breath work. And I know you feel similar. We've talked about this. Breath work, just breath work. And so with that, you know, a lot of the beginning is actually based in Gestalt therapy. So mm-hmm. like parts therapy, mm-hmm. really teaching them to connect with each individual part of their body, mm-hmm. building that connection to their desires, yeah. their needs, like what's present. And then from there we grow and we expand mm-hmm. and it becomes then embodiment where mm-hmm. we're like, well, now we're going to start moving. And I call mm-hmm. it like character development, you know? Mm. So I look at, you know, embodiment as a wheel, like a medicine wheel. And there's the light body, dark body, and then there's your masculine and feminine. And so within that, there's, you know, dark body feminine, dark body masculine, light body feminine, light body masculine as well.
Okay.
And so when we go into movement, it's how can we explore all quadrants of this medicine wheel that's holistically us, it's in our body, through sound, breath, and movement. And so, you know, if I was to break it down, like simplistically, I tell people like dark body oftentimes is the pressure. So it's like contraction.
Okay.
Moving that, feeling that, you know, masculine would be geometric shapes, very clear and rigid, like knows yeah. where it's going. Feminine's like the spinny, circly. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, light body's very expanded. Like I want to be seen and mm-hmm. take up space. And so as I guide people through these different experiences in their body, oftentimes we'll find where we've been living incongruent or not integrated. Mm-hmm. Like for me, my journey right now is really integrating my dark body and my masculine. Mm. So when I do movement, I notice like I can live in the swirls and like any like shadow and all these other pieces. But the moment I start trying to move masculine, especially like light body masculine or dark body masculine, it's so uncomfortable. I'm like, I don't mm-hmm. like this. Mm-hmm.
And
so
what's an example yeah. of that type of movement? Like I'm thinking like exercise is where my mind goes. Okay. I'm like, yeah. I know that's not what you're, yeah. I know that's what you're referring to, but, and then I want to hear what your expression is because they're all different types of movement, totally. Right? The visual that came to me is like boxing.
Yeah.
Is like very yeah. masculine versus like lyrical dance is like very feminine, mm-hmm. right? Both different types of movement.
Yeah.
But they have different expressions. So what is it like? Can you give an example of what that looks like?
Yeah. So everybody will be different mm-hmm. because it's about how is it expressed through your body.
Yeah.
So for me, dark feminine, dark masculine, when I'm moving in that. So I do my practice blindfolded most of the time. And I do too.
I blindfold everybody. That I really like the yes. blindfold.
It's amazing. If you don't have a blindfold, get one.
It's not just for breath work. Yeah.
It's for everything.
It's for everything.
Try it with your partner yeah. as well. So like when I'm doing it, a lot of times if I'm in dark masculine, it's like my shoulders are back. And so I like to think dark masculine mm-hmm. is the warrior. Mm-hmm. It's like ruthless pursuit of truth, mm-hmm. like no bullshit. Like I'm going to find the truth no matter what. Even if I have to lose every relationship that I've ever had, I will follow that truth. And so I feel like a sword at my back. And so if I'm moving,
I know what that feels like.
Yeah. That dark masculine, it's like I'm clear and I'm moving with strength and power and clarity. Like every step has intention. Mm-hmm. Every step is clear. Mm-hmm. I know where I'm going. Even if it's backwards, it's a clear backwards mm-hmm. step. So does that make sense?
Yes. Okay. I know. I hope that's translating for you guys. I know what that feels like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. What would example. I want to get into tantra, okay. but I want to just go on the other side of this with the feminine. Cause you just really explained that really well about the masculine. What would the fluidity of the feminine look like?
Yeah. So light body, I feel like most in our culture, I feel like light body is the easiest for most people to connect with and live in. A lot of us in our culture live in light bodies, which is just soft, loving, you know, for light body feminine. It's very like the airy fairies, mm-hmm. like, oh, look at me. Yay. Mm-hmm. For dark body, it's, you think more like, like Kali, more sex, more, I think Lilith, mm-hmm. I love Lilith, but it's very like my hips like snaky and like on the ground and like, yes. like really Ooh. That power yeah. from your center, from your womb, mm-hmm. like moving through your body, but in that circular way.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. Yes.
I need to like go through your class again or whatever class you offer that we do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Love this. So that's embodiment. Yeah. It's breath, movement, sound.
Yep.
That's like for people who are listening on the other side of this camera, when you're at home, those are the ways you move energy.
Yeah.
Breath, movement, sound. You can start there and there's a whole world you can explore. And now I want to talk about tantra.
Yeah.
Cause this here's where I'm at. Okay. Before we even get into sex, it's really for me, the juiciness in mm-hmm. my life mm-hmm. is around conscious connection.
Yeah.
Bringing so much intention, so much presence to who's right in front of me. Mm-hmm. Because literally sparks can fly mm-hmm. with anyone, with anyone. Yeah. If both people choose to be in that moment together mm-hmm. and exchange in any form of intimacy, and intimacy, the way I describe it is into me, you see. Mm-hmm. Do I allow you to see me? For who I am right now, even if it means I'm hurting right now, mm-hmm. I'm insecure right now, I'm stressed or whatever. So that is what I'm getting off on mm-hmm. is how good can it get? Like I'm asking the universe, how good, show me how good it can get. Because I have taken the lid off of my expectation of what's possible. Mm. I'm like, I know it can just get better and get deeper. And so now that I'm experiencing that in my platonic friendships, a level of depth and intimacy like I have never known that is so ultra fulfilling, I can cry mm-hmm. if I think about it. Mm-hmm. Now I'm like, give me a partner that's gonna help me meet God when we have sex.
Yes.
So what is tantra?
Okay. Yeah. So I love that you said like outside the sex thing, because I think oftentimes people hear tantra and a lot of, you know, I've heard this reflected back. People are like, I went to a yoga retreat and they had a tantra workshop, but it was just orgies. And I was like, I don't want to fuck with that. And mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. well, yeah, it's so much more than that.
Yeah. I want to debunk the myths yeah, around this.
It's not just sex. There's so many other, you know, stuff. So Kundalini yoga is a form of tantra. Okay. It's white tantra. So as you go, black tantra would be erotic. Okay. And that's where people oftentimes experience like the orgies, as they call them. A lot of what I teach when I do group work is more what's called pink or red tantra. And that would be more just intimacy, sensuality, things like that, like mm-hmm. that conscious connection, the sensuality, getting to connect in those ways. Mm-hmm. And so that's the thing. And the basis
it's a spectrum.
Is a spectrum. And really tantra is a spiritual practice and belief. And in my experience and my understanding, it's really the belief that everything is interconnected in a web of life. And we are just weaving through this life. There's no good, bad, right, wrong. Everything is. And if we choose to move in life that way, everything is here to expand us. Mm. For greater capacity. And one of the beautiful things that I've experienced with tantra, they say, you know, like tantra is the lightning path, because it's the path of descension first.
So what does that mean?
We descend into your shadow. Like, let's go deep in the shadow, because we don't want you bringing unintegrated shadows into sacred sexuality, because then that's where people get hurt.
Yes.
So, you know, in tantra, it's like we go into the depths, like we, you know, my trainings and my background, we call it the underworld. We're like, let's go into the underworld. Let's lose our identity of who we are as a human, the ego, and fully embrace being an animal or a creature or a monster and let that be here with us and face all those parts of ourselves, so that when we reemerge from this underworld, I can be integrated in all of these parts. All of my little creatures are my buddies now, mm-hmm. and I'm moving from this integrated place. And so we also look at it, it's like, you know, and Andrew Huberman talks about this, actually, I watched it recently, but the amount of pain discomfort that you can experience, that you allow your capacity to hold, is actually directly correlated and connected to the amount of pleasure that you can experience.
Yep.
And so, yeah, like letting yourself go into those things. A lot of times we don't want to feel grief. We don't want to feel rage. We don't feel anger. And I promise you, when you feel it on the other side, it's ecstasy. You're just like, oh my God.
That's why I'm able to feel the level of it really bliss. I mean, that I'm feeling in my life right now because I'm coming out of a season where I was in the underworld.
Yes.
Experiencing the deepest grief and pain of my life. Mm-hmm. But it's, you can't have one without the other.
Ooh, yeah, exactly.
And when you numb the bad, you also numb the good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here on the Coachable Podcast, we understand the importance of maintaining our mental and physical well-being in order to create a life that feels as good as it looks. That's why I'm thrilled to have Unified Healing sponsoring this episode. Unified Healing is an innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. This groundbreaking technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, and purification, providing a path to optimal health and performance. With centers located around the world, Unified Healing makes accessing the EE System technology easy and affordable, no matter where you're located. The EE System offers a unique opportunity to experience a new approach to wellness that you might not have ever considered before. It's designed to help you feel rejuvenated, balanced, and perform at your best. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/coachable to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/coachable. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare providers with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including the EE System. All right, team. Life has been busy for me lately, but it's time that I finally turn you all on to Factor Meals, the game-changing meal delivery service from the same creators as HelloFresh and Green Chef that I have raved about before. Unlike these meal kits, Factor Meals offers a convenient solution for fresh, ready-made meals that require no prep, no mess, and are dietitian approved, so you can enjoy delicious and nutritious meals even during your busiest seasons. Sometimes life gets hectic and cooking becomes a chore. Factor Meals understands that, and it's here to give you back your time without sacrificing healthy eating. Choose your meals each week, tailor your menu to suit your preferences, and say goodbye to grocery shopping and kitchen cleanups. Plus, with the flexibility to pause or reschedule deliveries anytime, Factor Meals seamlessly integrates into your ever-changing schedule. Embrace the convenience, flexibility, and deliciousness of Factor Meals by signing up today. Transform your mealtime routine, save precious time, and experience the joy of stress-free and wholesome dining. It's time to say yes to Factor Meals and welcome a simpler, healthier way of life that truly feels as good as it looks. So head to factormeals.com/coachable50 and use code coachable50 to get 50% off. That's code coachable50 at factormeals.com/coachable50 to get 50% off your order. Now let's get back to this episode.
So I love what you're saying here, because you're saying let's experience the full spectrum of our humanness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's where that bliss lives. That's where that ecstasy and that
it's
deep
only
connection.
Possible. It's only like I'm just having this awareness. It's just like I'm only able to experience this level of love because I was able to experience such a level of grief.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, and sometimes with grief, I was actually on a hike yesterday with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
I was moving through some stuff, and I asked him, "What is the emotion you're most unwilling to feel?"
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And for him, he said loneliness, but also grief and some of these other deep, deep, hard, often hard emotions come up.
Yeah.
And we're like, run from pain, avoid pain, pursue pleasure. But we don't realize that when we avoid pain and run after pleasure, we will forever be running.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we have not addressed the pain.
Well, it's like, I always see it as, you know, this almost like this insatiable void then within us,
mm-hmm.
which, I mean, it's great for capitalism and consumerism.
No kidding.
Go yeah. that. You know, but when we don't go tap into that, you know, and I see it as like this void is where we all come from, and we run from it because it's no thingness. Mm-hmm. It's nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah. And so we fear it because what does that mean to our human ego and our human body? Like, are we going to die? Am I not going to exist if I enter this void, if I enter this darkness? Like, where do mm-hmm. I begin and end in there? And where do you begin and end? Mm-hmm. Do any of us exist in there? Mm-hmm. But when we allow ourselves to fully just disintegrate into that void, there's stillness, and we can come back and we can really experience everything and realize that we're never alone. All of us are in that void. Mm-hmm. And that void doesn't have to be this thing we fear and we run from and we're trying to fill with other things. Like, just sit in it, you know? And as a woman, I always see it as almost like that womb space. If you just enter your womb cave and you're just like, oh, it's so spacious.
Yeah.
It's so good. Yeah, I can sit here forever, you know? And when we can learn to sit in that, but oftentimes a lot of people have that fear of being lonely, mm-hmm. that fear, it's very deep, you know, of being mm-hmm. lonely. But the challenge is if we don't sit and own our loneliness, we start grasping at people. We're needy. We have hooks. And then we're still lonely because we're not being met. We're not meeting them. We're using them.
We're meeting mask to mask versus meeting face to face.
And in a sense, it's unconsensual because you're using a person to make you feel better.
Absolutely.
And that's not fair to them or you. And it's not going to work. It's like, you know,
you're playing a losing game.
Exactly. It's like eating the candy and then needing more candy constantly, the stimulus.
And wondering why you're sick.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Literally. Yeah. And this is so, so good. I hope people are really at home getting this because it's scary to go there with yourself.
Yeah.
But the only way out is through.
Yes.
Right. And through this intensity. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're afraid of the intensity. And, you know, the other question I asked him was, is there anything in your life? Because he has a beautiful life.
Mm.
On the outside, people would do a lot of dark shit to be who he is.
Mm.
And I asked, is there anything missing in your life that you wish you had? And he said intimacy.
Mm, yeah. Well, I think also in our culture, what I've learned is a lot of people equate intimacy to sexuality.
Okay, let's talk about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. As well as pleasure, they equate to sexuality.
Okay.
And so, you know, I really love that insight you've had with your friends. And the thing is so many of us in this culture are so afraid of people seeing us without the mask,
mm-hmm.
without the performative side. And so we're in a culture of people starved for intimacy, starved, you know, because there's social media, there's like, oh, I have to look a certain way. And then there's all the contrast and comparison to people that aren't even real. I was on a plane the other day and a woman pulled up her Instagram, went to take a story. She's sitting next to me, has a filter on it. It looks nothing like
you like see the person and then you're like, wait.
I was like, okay, I'm gonna mind my business right now. But, you know, and so we're in this culture though. And to imagine you can't even show your face to people, like, you know, out of whatever story you have, then imagine sitting with a person. I can't show you my face. How am I going to show you my thoughts, my feelings, my heart, my soul, what's really here? And if I can't show you that, we're not going to have intimacy. We're going to have, I was already depleted. We'd already had some friction in the relationship. And I felt myself being like, mm-hmm. I don't want to. And then I, instead of being like, hey, can I get back to you on this and answer you from a centered place? I kind of was just like, oh, it seems really inconvenient. And then they snapped back because they felt that energy. And they were like, well, I do a lot of inconvenient things. And I was like, ooh. And then I caught
now
it.
We're in a
I
dance.
Caught it. Yep. And I was like, okay, yes. And we're not going to play this game. I was like, I apologize. I realized like I should have just told you I'd get back to you. I'm not in an abundant place right now to answer that question.
Depleted.
Please let me get back to you on this. I'm sure I'll find a center where I'd be happy to do this, but I don't want to answer from a place of feeling like I have to answer you and give you what you want.
Sure.
And so he was able to respect that, of course, but that's part of that learning.
It is.
It's like the moment you become conscious.
That's maturity of having a dynamic.
Once you catch it, like, oh, hey, let's clean this up real quick.
Yep.
I apologize. I did start that. Like, this isn't cool. We're not going to play these games. Like, whoo, let's reset and we'll come back to it. That's the grace.
I hope you guys just heard that because you don't have to continue the dance and the spiral. Like when you become aware that in an exchange is now like that you're out of integrity with yourself. It's just like, all you have to do is say, actually, I just realized how I responded is actually not True. And what I'd like is what I need is like, I need some time. Totally. I'll come back to you and honor that. Right. Yeah. And that is how we grow and how we move forward and how we sustain relationships.
Yeah. Those intimate ones.
Really.
The juicy ones. Yeah. And it builds respect because now that other person trusts you too.
Exactly.
Like, I don't trust somebody who never tells me no. That's why every workshop, I always tell people.
I'm like, wait, say that again.
I do not trust people who do not tell me no. Because they're lying at some point. Mm-hmm. So you're lying to me at some point. Mm-hmm. And so every workshop I do, one of my agreements I give people is, I am a guide. I am not here to tell you what to do. You always have agency. And so if at any moment I invite you to do a practice and your body is like, that doesn't feel good, I don't want to do it, say no, sit out. That's fine. I will respect that because I will acknowledge that you're honoring yourself.
Yep.
And that takes courage.
Yep.
And so it's that learning that your no is so powerful. And when we say no to something, we're saying yes to something else.
Yep.
And so that's how I watched this beautiful speech Elon's wife gave recently, ex-wife, about how when he was first building, she would watch how much he would say no to so much. And like other people would be like, wow, he's so cold. He's so mean. He doesn't go out. But she was like, what I realized was because he was so dedicated to his dream, his vision, that he had to have those boundaries. He had to say no to all that because he was saying yes to what he's built today. And I was like, oh, yeah.
That's so powerful. So powerful. Take inventory. If the people who are surrounding you are just yes men, that is an indicator that there's probably a lack of trust within the relationship dynamics that you have surrounding you, and respect.
Yeah.
Because you know they're bullshitting you at times.
Totally.
And vice versa.
Yeah.
And we got to clean that up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Back to sex.
Back to the juicy.
Yes. So, my dear, where does one begin if they want to dabble into tantra? Like, what does that look like in an erotic environment?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I shared with you on our call recently, one of my favorite practices in that is the conscious touch puja. So why I love a conscious...
I want to try that.
Yeah. Yes.
What is this?
So what I love about a conscious touch puja is, well, I'll first just state for people who don't know, puja is the act of devotion or worship. And so when we're doing a conscious touch puja, it's like we are in this experience with each other and we're having conscious touch with consent in the act of devotion and worship. Like, the God in me sees the God in you, and I'm here to help heal you. Mm-hmm. Like, guide you, not heal you, but guide you back home to yourself and safety. Mm-hmm. That, like, you deserve to have these desires, to have yourself met in this way that feels safe and honored and with reverence, and how beautiful that can be. And so in the puja, the basis is first teaching. We do some practices similar to Art of Consent where people learn, like, where's my yes, where's my no? And also learning, like, some people, you don't even need to know them, but you just, like, energetically want them. Like, you did this game with me. You want them so close.
When we did it, I was like, come here. Like, there, you, and then there's sometimes you're repelled by people.
Yeah.
And it's an energetic thing.
And there's no shame.
No.
No shame. It's like magic.
That's why you know who your people are. Yeah. It's a felt sense.
Exactly. And so we do some of these to start to learn and release, like, any shame. There's nothing wrong with them. Nothing wrong with you. Mm-hmm. It's just some people you really want, like, in your body, and some you don't, you know? And from there, we do the Wheel of Consent.
Okay.
Which I love. Dr. Betty Martin's Wheel of Consent. So powerful.
Okay.
But that's the basis of the puja then. We play in the Wheel of Consent with each other. Mm. And so with that, a lot of times people, when we think of consent, and maybe let's say, so let's take a quadrant, we'll do like giving and receiving.
Okay.
And let's say I'm, you know, giving for your pleasure and you're receiving. And let's say you ask me, like, it's been a long day and you're like, man, my back really hurts. I would love if you gave me a deep tissue massage. And this is part of staying in consent and not falling out of shadow. So if I was falling into shadow, let's say I didn't really want to do that because I'm really tired and that just sounds icky to my body. But then if I'm in shadow and I'm out of consent, I might be like, okay, yeah, sure, I'll give you the massage. But then she's going to feel that. Like, I'm going to be working on her and she's going to be like, something feels off. And then she might feel crazy. She's like, why the hell does this feel off? Like, it feels good, but energetically something's not, because we're out of consent.
And nobody likes a feeling of obligation.
No. And so that what we can do, which I love in the Conscious Touch Puja that we teach, is negotiations. Mm. Negotiations.
Okay.
So just because you don't want to do what someone else wants to do, it doesn't have to mean nope.
Cut off.
Yep. Nope. Bye.
We're not going to do this.
We're just going to sit here and stare at each other. You get nothing.
Yeah.
No, it's like, okay, I hear this is what you want. That doesn't really feel good in my body right now. Is there something else that would feel good to you that maybe doesn't require as much, you know, force from my body right now? And then you get to share with me.
And have a negotiation.
Yeah. And so that's what I love in those spaces is that we really get to play in all these realms. And it also rewires your nervous system to learn. So the edgiest quadrant for people is taking and allowing.
Mm-hmm.
Because in culture, if it's in shadow, you know, yeah, someone's a perpetrator and someone's a victim.
Yep.
And so the beautiful thing, though, when it's integrated and within consent is it's true surrender. And it's true, like, getting to take this power and feel it. Mm-hmm. And while someone is in full surrender and consenting. And that one took me a long time in trainings to get comfortable with even myself. And the moment of distinction for me was I would be in these trainings where we're like, we just do these over and over and we're like experiencing them. And I remember I would have women oftentimes who they would be in taking roles and we would have the whole conversation. I'd be like, okay, we're negotiated. Everything's good. I'd lay down to allow. And then they'd be touching me and all of a sudden I'd be like,
I take it back.
No, it would be like, it feels like you're trying to please me.
Oh, interesting.
So when you're taking, it's I'm taking for my pleasure and you're allowing me. And so I would feel like that offness, mm-hmm. which means we're out of consent now. Mm-hmm. We're because you're trying to do something we didn't agree upon. Mm-hmm. You're trying to please me. I didn't ask for that. And so when I started having that experience, I was like, ooh, this is icky. I don't mm-hmm. like this. And then I remember distinctly, I had one experience where I was in taking and I was with a woman and she fully went into allow and I was fully taking and she was in such pleasure and just like oozing. Like I remember I was sitting behind her, like holding her and she was just like melting in my arms. And it was so good for me too then because I'm just like, oh,
it's working.
It's amazing. Yeah. Like I'm taking what I want and she by proxy is getting pleasure from this. And I'm just doing what the fuck I want to mm-hmm. do. And it was like this rush and this thrill and like seeing how beautiful that experience got to be for both of us then. And that was like a reprogramming for me of like, wow, okay, when it's consensual, this is powerful. This is healing. Like, and that's why I love these because we get to start to play in those and learn. And you also have agency. Let's say we're in an experience in a puja that, and we teach this in the beginning of the setup, but you're like, I want to stop this. You get to pause or you can full stop, you know, and we have hand signals and things like that. If you feel nonverbal in the moment and in that moment, it's okay. We're pausing, we're checking in, or it's a full, we're stopping this experience and we're just going to sit here now. It just gives you that voice, you know?
Well, yes. Yeah. So many of us really struggle with activating our voice
mm-hmm.
and speaking our needs and saying, this doesn't work for me, or I love this.
Yeah.
I want more of this. We're even afraid of that
mm-hmm.
because we're like, oh, what if that's too much?
Yeah. Or what if they take it away? What if I tell them I like it and they take it away from me?
Yes. And they use it against me.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many aspects of this. And so to do it again, all of these practices, whether they're erotic or platonic or any aspect of this, it is reprogramming your nervous system to a sense of safety that I can trust what I'm experiencing mm-hmm. because energy is felt, not seen.
Yeah.
You can't, and we're so conditioned to look at, you know, it's not just verbal communication or it's so much is nonverbal.
Mm-hmm.
So much of our communication is nonverbal. And then if you've ever been gaslit and someone's giving you all this nonverbal communication and you're like, what is this? And they're like, what do you mean? I'm not doing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's called being gaslit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's really, really difficult because now you're questioning yourself and you're questioning the experience. And if you know, you're like, what's happening?
I think on that gaslighting thing. So I have a friend and she has this thing she shares and I love it. I'm just gonna put it in here about how often we actually gaslight everyone ourselves.
Talk to
on
me.
Average. Yes. So, you know, let's say a friend meets up with you and you've had a bad day. How often when your friend's like, let's say it's more of an acquaintance. Cause I know us, we're just gonna tell them.
Yeah.
Let's say it's an acquaintance. Like, and they're like, hey, like, are you okay? How often do we just say, yeah, I'm okay. we're gaslighting them. They feel it. They know something's wrong, but we're like, yeah, sure. I'm okay. No, like, okay. Like now they feel crazy because mm-hmm. they're like, something mm-hmm. feels wrong. And so I love my friend. She always says like that. Yeah. We oftentimes gaslight people on such subtle levels mm-hmm. that we're all just walking around, you know, like even.
And we wonder why we struggle with trust.
Yeah. You know, the grocer asks you, how are you doing? And we know they don't really want to know. So we're just like, okay. But we're like, now we're lying to ourselves
right,
even.
Right.
Like
I saw this thing today that was like, stop expecting honesty from people who lie to themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. So good.
So good. That's and so good. Where do we begin? With being honest with ourselves.
Yeah. And meeting yourself. That's the piece too, especially in dating. Cause I'm, you know, in the dating world like you are, mm-hmm. it's really giving so much grace and compassion to other people when you don't feel met, because all it is a reflection of their lack of ability to meet themselves. It's not even about us. Yeah. And so like just letting it go, which sometimes I'm a dog with a bone and it's hard to let go, you know?
I just need to
fucking know, man. but the more that we can just let it, like realize that it's not about us. And also, okay, cool. Like, you know, as Ariana Grande says, thank you next. Like, let's move on. Let's mm-hmm. find the next mm-hmm. like best thing. And each time we get to refine in that. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, with sacred sexuality and that too, the biggest thing I tell people when they're looking for a partner, for that divine sacred partner, like have lots of sex with yourself, you know, like really know, like I joke at this point, like I can get off in like 5 seconds with somebody because I know exactly what I need to do to get what I need. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. because I know my body.
Yep.
And so it's like, the more you know that, then when you're met with that partner that knows themselves as well, that's where that magic gets to unfold, because you're fully in yourselves. You're in your desire. You're in your body. Mm-hmm. You're not, you know, what kills sex is being in your head.
Yep. Well, I was having this conversation recently. It's like so many of us grow up and we're not taught to explore our bodies. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many women I know in their late 20s and 30s who've never had an orgasm because they've never explored their own body or because there's so much shame around it, blah, blah, blah. Or they're expecting a man or another partner of whatever gender it is to teach them about their body.
Yeah. Which, first of all,
is bizarre.
If it's a man, it's not going to happen for the most part. Right. They were never taught about these things.
A man is not going to teach you about your feminine.
They have different equipment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So part of it in the spirit of liberation.
Yes.
It's your body. Mm-hmm. This is your vessel. This is your temple that you are given for this ride through this earthly experience. We don't get to trade it out for any other one. So learn to like it and figure out how it works. It's like, if you're driving a car and you have no idea what the buttons do or like what the gears are, and you're like, oh, this looks pretty, but I don't know how to work it. You know, it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Please don't do that.
Yeah. You've wasted a lot of your money or your life.
Yeah, exactly.
So like learn what's going to rev your gears up, you know?
Yeah. And like you can look at it as play. That's how I love to look at it, especially like demystifying all the shame, all these things around it. And I understand, you know, coming from a Southern Baptist family, I know that for the longest time, I wouldn't touch myself. Mm-hmm. I would only, like if I was masturbating, use like my Hitachi, my magic wand, the ladies who know. And I had this almost like repulsion to the idea of touching myself. And it wasn't until through this work that I started like getting rid of the stimulus of a vibrator, because it desensitizes you, and really learning to use my hands and find that through play, almost like thinking of myself as this little kid exploring my body. So you start like, you know, on the places that feel safe, that are mm-hmm. farther out. And then as you relax and work yourself in, then like finding like, oh, does this feel good? Mm-hmm. Oh, does this feel good? And almost like that curiosity mm-hmm. and play, and then just learning from there. Yeah. And, you know, really like, well, what else could I try? Like, what if you tried, you know, bringing in different sensations or smells or just playing with it and really like letting everything guide you on that journey? Mm-hmm. Like a kid would. A kid wouldn't get in their head about like, oh, that's weird. No, they bring a mud pie into the bedroom. They don't give a shit.
Right. Exactly. I think the spirit of curiosity is one of our greatest like superpowers. And I am where I am because I follow my curiosity fully. I mean, I was the kid that sat on the beach with her mom asking her a million questions about life. And I'm like, where does sand come from? And she's like, go ask your dad. You know, I don't know. And then my dad's like, go Google it. But like, I just want to know things.
Yeah.
And the greatest topic I want to know about is myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the invitation I give to all of you, is like, get curious about yourself. Mm-hmm. Because from there, everything else transpires and unfolds from that place. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's what you're so, so gifted at guiding people through. And this work is essentially done with safe practitioners and safe facilitators and people that live and embody the work and live with integrity. And that's what I respect so much about you. This is, you can talk the talk, but do you walk the walk?
Yeah.
And that is something that from day one I have felt from your presence and from your energy. Don't lie. Vibes don't lie. Good vibes all around. So I would love for you to tell people who are curious, their interest is sparked. They're like, there are things I need to explore within myself or that I would like to start to explore with a partner. I have questions. I don't know where to begin. Where would you tell people to start, and how can they learn more about what you do if they're looking for some help in that area?
Yeah, for starting, you know, really, if you're solo, if you're by yourself, it's that self-inquiry.
Yeah.
You know, really getting curious, like, where am I playing small? Where am I hiding from myself? Where am I not being honest with myself? Where am I limiting my experience? Where am I telling myself I can't have what I want? Oof, that's a big one. So that self-curiosity is a great start. If you're with a partner, same thing, but bring it to your partner. Like, have that open, honest conversation and, you know, come alongside them. Be like, hey, I really would love to have this conversation so that we can have more intimacy, more connection, whatever, so that they know this isn't like I'm trying to grill you or attack you. Like, I really just want to go deep with you. I want to have this pleasure with you. And then what was your second question?
If people want to work with you, what does that look
me.
Like? Yes.
If people want to work with me, typically I recommend a discovery call first, which is a short, just getting to know you and see if we're really aligned. If, you know, because if not me, I'm always happy to refer to incredible practitioners that I know and trust. Because like you said, in this world, so many people can say, there's a lot of mouthpieces. And it's so important when you have someone guiding you that they're in integrity. And so, yeah, so we first go through to see if we're aligned. If not, I'm happy to refer to people that I know. From there, typically I do a strategy session. So we get really clear on what it's going to look like for their protocol, essentially, for what they need for moving forward, what their desires are. And then we can work together.
So how can people get in touch with you if they want to, to set up that call?
Good question. I love these questions.
So
Instagram is probably the easiest. I have my link tree as well in my Instagram, which has my discovery call booking link if someone wants to just jump right on it. But also you could just send me a DM if there's any questions, anything like that.
Okay. What is your Instagram handle?
Avery.MAIE. Avery May.
We're going to put all of that in the show notes, as you know, so that you can continue your self-inquiry journey. This is a journey, like we said. There are levels. So if you are entering into a new level for yourself, or you're feeling like you're just kind of stifled, suffocated in the relationship that you have with yourself or with another significant other, and you're like, I want to see how good it can get, then I really encourage you to go check out Avery on her Instagram, send her a DM, go look at her link tree, give her a follow, and share this episode with a friend who maybe could use it. I love you guys. Thank you so much for being here, for sharing your work and your wisdom and your presence with me. It is a pleasure. I love you very much.
Thank you.
Till next week, you guys. We'll see you on the Coachable Podcast.